It is March 1, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at education.johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Later this morning, we are going to publish the JLN exclusive interview with Osaka Exchange President and CEO Moriyuki Awanaga. He gives us an update on several initiatives at JPX, including expanding trading hours, trading on holidays, improvements to the trading system, and energy contracts, and more. Today we have a video we published on Friday, but forgot to include in yesterday's JLN, of our interview with John McPartland for the History of Financial Futures video series. McPartland, a longtime banker, FCM executive, and exchange clearinghouse professional, talks about the early days of the international monetary market and currency trading on the exchange and working through all of the behind-the-scenes plumbing issues. It's an important part of the history of financial futures we wanted to get on video. In John's take from the spread, there was a missing picture near the end of the video, which told an important part of the story about how Euronext will let almost anyone ring the closing bell at one of their exchanges. It was, of course, a picture of me ringing the closing bell of the Amsterdam exchange from back in 2011. Megan Morgan has joined Belvedere Trading Company in an investments and market structure position. She previously was with Eurex in Chicago as global head of business development, equity, and index businesses. She has also been with the Chicago Climate Exchange and European Climate Exchange. Congratulations, Megan, on your new position. Sal Arnuch left Themis Trading and joined Virtu, which prompted Bloomberg to use the headline, Flash Boys hero Sal Arnuch has joined the Flash Boys. High-speed trading critic Arnuch tweets about new job at Virtu. Mark Phelps has put away the garden gloves and cheers and is starting his new position as managing director at RJ O'Brien Limited. Do you know who David Boggs is? You most likely have used his invention. He was the co-inventor of Ethernet. He died on February 19th in Palo Alto, California at the age of 71, the New York Times reported. It appears there are two things the readers of JLN dearly love, wine and coffee. The coffeehouse story was our number three story today, after the wine story was in the top three for several days a week ago or so. And then there are the popular real estate stories, particular Ken Griffin real estate stories. It is good to have some relief from derivatives and securities from time to time. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's our video about John McPartland. John McPartland joined Continental Bank in 1973 after leaving the Air Force. He worked for 2 years in the Internal Audit Department where he learned about secured financing. He was honing his understanding just as accounting standards for the futures industry were emerging and the CFTC was being created. You can watch this video at johnlothiannews.com. Don't forget to register for FIA Boca 2022. It's coming up fast. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The list of foreign companies pulling out of Russia keeps growing. What was an enticing new market 30 years ago is now spurned. The invasion of Ukraine is causing a mass exodus of companies from Russia, reversing 3 decades of investment by Western and other foreign businesses there following the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991. The list of those cutting ties or reviewing their operations is growing by the hour as foreign governments ratchet up sanctions against Russia, close airspace to its aircraft, and lock some banks out of the SWIFT money messaging system. With the ruble plunging and the U.S. banning transactions with the Russian central bank, operating in Russia has become deeply problematic. Some companies have concluded that the risks, both reputational and financial, are too great to continue. my comment, the reputational risk is real in today's hyper-connected world. One snap of a picture shared on social media can easily go viral, creating all kinds of problems, a risk to manage or avoid. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Americans, Canadians answer Ukraine call for foreign fighters. A Texas software developer and a cook in British Columbia are among dozens of Americans and Canadians answering Ukraine's call for foreign volunteers to fight Russia's invasion. With their governments refusing to send troops to Ukraine out of fear of sparking a world war, Americans and Canadians told Reuters they were inspired by Ukrainians' fierce resistance. Many believe their democratic rights at home may ultimately be jeopardized if they do nothing to defend Europe. My comment, the Foreign Legion Brigade is forming. Here's a story from the New York Times from Paul Krugman. Russia is a Potemkin superpower. Beware, Vladimir Putin, spring is coming. And when it does, you'll lose much of whatever leverage you had left. Before Putin invaded Ukraine, I might have described the Russian Federation as a medium-sized power punching above its weight, in part by exploiting Western divisions and corruption, in part by maintaining a powerful military. Since then, however, two things have become clear. First, Putin has delusions of grandeur. Second, Russia is even weaker than most people, myself included, seem to have realized. My comment, Paul Krugman is attempting to defeat Russia with the pen is mightier than the sword approach. It can be very demoralizing. Not sure how many Russians are reading the New York Times, though. Here's another story from the New York Times. Why Ukrainians Believe They Can Win by Michelle Goldberg. I met Volodymyr Yermolenko, a Ukrainian philosopher and my chief editor of Ukraine World, an English language news site in Kiev in 2019. I'd gone there to report on how Ukrainians felt about Donald Trump's attempt to extort their president. Volodymyr Zelensky and on the American rights demonization of Ukrainians who'd worked against corruption. Yermolenko spoke then of Ukraine as a front line in the global battle between democracy and authoritarianism, with Europe on one side and Vladimir Putin's Russia on the other side, and the role of the United States under Trump confusing and ambiguous. My comment, Michelle Goldberg writes a compelling comment on why Ukrainian democracy is a powerful force in this fight. Don't underestimate it. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our most read story on Monday was S&P Global and IHS Market complete merger. Second was from Bloomberg, the West weaponizes Russia's central bank against Putin, Jerome Powell in a tank. Third was a Financial Times story, the best independent coffee shops in the world. I'm sorry our editor-in-chief is not here today to comment on this. She is quite the fan of coffee. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is from the Wall Street Journal. The West sanctions barrage severs Russia's economy from much of the world. The country has been all but unplugged from a global system that powered its years-long transition from a closed society. Western nations dropped economic sanctions of historic scale on Russia that are hobbling its financial system and effectively reversing 30 years of post-Cold War engagement. The economic moves by the U.S. and Europe in response to the invasion of Ukraine reverberated Monday through Russia's economy, which was largely cut off from much of the West and hindered the ability of Russia's central bank to manage the country's financial system and mitigate the damage. The second story is from Bloomberg. Putin's war shows West must clean up dirty money. U.S. leads crackdown on money laundering to squeeze Russian elite. President Vladimir Putin's regime has been accused of corruption for years by campaigners and investigative journalists. The U.S. Treasury said it officially on Monday, directly calling Putin's regime a kleptocracy. Putin has given the U.S. and its allies the perfect chance to crack down on the lax practices and loopholes that facilitate corruption and allow dirty money to swill around Europe, the U.S., and elsewhere. President Joe Biden has pledged that his administration would battle money laundering and tax evasion by kleptocrats and criminals, starting in the U.S. And finally, from Reuters, exclusive, MSCI says removing Russia from indices, natural next step. Russia's stock market is uninvestable after stringent new Western sanctions and central bank curbs on trading, making a removal of Russian listings from indices a natural next step, a top executive at equity index provider MSCI said on Monday. It would not make a lot of sense for us to continue to include Russian securities if our clients and investors cannot transact in the market, Demetrius Miles, MSCI's head of index research and chair of the Index Policy Committee, told Reuters. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.